Shakespeare's Henry V is the finest expression of English patriotism our theater has ever given us. These words, for instance, could have been written to be spoken tonight. Now all the youth of England are on fire and silken dalliance in the wardrobe lies. Now thrive the armorers, and honor's thoughts reign solely in the breast of every man. I'd like to read you now what the young English king in that play had to say on the subject of honor. His armies, a pitifully small number, were already landed on the French coast and were awaiting battle. But first, let the words of Shakespeare's chorus set the scene. Now, entertain conjecture of a time when creeping murmur and the pouring dark fills the wide vessel of the universe. From camp to camp, through the foul womb of night, the hum of either army still is sound. But the six sentinels almost receive the secret whispers of each other's watch. Fire answers fire, and through their paly flames, each battle sees the other's umbered face. The country cocks do crow, the clocks do toll, and the third hour of drowsy morning neighs. Proud of their numbers and secure in soul, the confident and overlusty French do the low-rated English play at dice, and chide the crippled, tardy-gated knight who, like a foul and ugly witch, doth limp so heedlessly away. The poor condemned English, like sacrifices, by their watchful fires, sit patiently and inly ruminate the morning's danger. And their gesture sad, investing lank lean sheep and war-worn coats, presenteth them unto the gazing moon so many horrid ghosts. Oh, now who will behold the royal captain of this ruined band, walking from watch to watch, from tent to tent? For forth he goes and visits all his hosts, bids them good morrow with a modest smile, and calls them brothers, friends, and countrymen. Upon his royal face there is no note, how dread an army doth seem round him. Nor does he dedicate one jot of color unto the weary and o'erwatched knight, but freshly looks and overbears a taint with cheerful semblance and sweet majesty that every wretch, pining and pale before, beholding him, plucks comfort from his looks. A largest, universal, like the sun, his liberal eye doth give to everyone, thawing cold fear. Then mean and gentle all, behold as may unworthiness define, a little touch of Harry in the night. Now there's the scene for you, as Shakespeare thinks it, better than we could ever do it in a movie studio. Walking alone through his camp, King Henry hears one of the commanders of his troops, the Earl of Westmoreland, wishing there were more men in the English army. Says Westmoreland, oh, that we now had here but 10,000 of those men in England that do no work today. So speaks Westmoreland. And Henry answers him, what's he that wishes so? My cousin Westmoreland? No, my fair cousin. If we are marked to die, we are now to do our country loss, and if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will! I pray thee, wish not one man more. By Jove, I am not covetous for gold, nor care I who doth feed upon my corse. It yearns me not if men my garments wear. Such outward things dwell not in my desires. But if it be a sin to covet honor, I am the most offending soul alive. No, faith, my cousin. Wish not a man from England. Godspeed! I would not lose so great an honor as one man more, methinks, would share for me for the best hope I have. Oh, do not wish one more. Rather proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Christians, she that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rousing at the name of Christie. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispian. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Christmas Day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgotten. But he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names familiar in their mouths as household words, Harry the Third, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups, freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his sons, and Crisp and Crispian shall ne'er go by. From this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that shed his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood cheap, whilst any speaks. But what with us on St. Christmas Day? And then the battle comes, and now we hear the great speech at the very fortress itself.
Once more unto the breach, dear friends, once more. I'll close the wall up with our English dead. In peace, there's nothing so becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ears, then we imitate the action of the tiger, stiffen the sinews, summon up the blood, disguise fair nature with hard-favored rage, then lend the eye a terrible aspect, let it pry through the portage of the head like the brass cannon. Let the brow whelm it as fearfully as the galled rock, or hang and jutty his confounded bait, will with the wild and wasteful ocean. Now set the feet and stretch the nostril wide. Hold hard the breath and bend up every spirit to its full height. On, you noble English, dishonor not your mothers. Now attest that those whom you call fathers did beget you. Be copy now to men of grosser blood and teach them how to war. And you, good yeomen, whose limbs were made in England, show us here the metal of your pasture. Let us swear that you are worth the breeding, which I doubt not, for there is none of you so mean and base that hath not noble luster in your eyes. I see you stand like greyhounds in the slip, training upon the start. The game's afoot. Follow your spirit, and upon this charge, cry, God for Harry, England, and St. George!